morning.
Hey, there we are. Well, good morning and welcome. My name is Aaron Russo. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity, and it's good to be with you this morning. Want to let you know that there's always a lot going on at Trinity, and so we encourage everyone to please read your bulletin. Today's bulletin's got a lot of good information in it about things coming up during this Advent season. One of the things that I wanted to let you know about in particular is that tomorrow night from 6 to 8:30, we will be doing the work of decorating this space for the holiday season, putting up 14 Christmas trees and wreaths and lights and all kinds of things. There's all kinds of jobs for people young and old and tall and small, and so just come and help Alice and the worship team transform this space. We would love to have you here. If you are here for the first time today, please know how grateful we are that you have joined us for worship. You're in for a real treat today. I'll tell you about that in just a second. If you're here all the time, it's always good to see you. Everyone, please take a moment to fill out the Connect card that is inside your bulletin. It's a useful tool for us here at Trinity to know who is here and to be able to connect with you. So this morning, we have the privilege of being led in worship by the Gator Wesley Foundation. They are under the leadership of Joel and Heather Pancoast, who I've gotten to know over the years through their ministry years ago at Warren Willis Camp, which is the camp ministry of the Florida Conference. And my daughter, Gabrielle, who's now a freshman in high school, has been going to summer camp since she was a rising fourth grader. And Joel and Heather are two of her favorite people on the planet. So she was excited to see them here this morning. They've got some students with them that are going to be leading us in worship, and we are so grateful for their ministry. You know, the bishop must think a lot of clergy couples because there are three of them now in Gainesville. So anyway, we're glad that they are here. We're glad that you are here. And we have a tradition that we want, and we hope that everyone who comes to Trinity feels this way about our church. But I say to you, welcome home. Would you please stand and greet one another?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please continue to stand as you're able? And let's join together in beginning our worship together by singing our opening hymn.
I see the stars, I hear the rolling.
Good morning. My name is Heather Pankos, and I'm one of the co-directors at Gator Wesley. And I just want to let you know how blessed we are to be here with you in worship this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we pretend to know you so well in our creeds, in our prayers, and in our worship. Today, we want to see Jesus. Today, we want to experience the Holy Spirit. Today, we come to worship you. Thank you for giving us ears to hear your word. Thank you for giving us voices to sing your praise. Thank you for giving us a mind to learn and study. Thank you for giving us hands to hold and to serve. Help us to be real. Help us to be open. Help us to be honest. Because we need you. We need you here. In our hearts, be priest, hearing our confessions. In our minds, be king of our thoughts. In our lives, be prophetic voice in action. Thank you for your goodness and kindness in our lives. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kingdom that is unlike any kingdom in this world. We come to you today aware of so many needs. Especially during this holiday season, Lord, we ask for your peace and presence in the lives of those who are sick, alone, or suffering. And as we worship together this morning, we join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, hope and our prayer that when students move away from home and begin college, that they find a faith community, and particularly that they find a faith community where their faith can grow and be affirmed. And so this morning we'd like to share with you a quick video that highlights three of our students as they share with you how their faith has been impacted through Christ by the ministry at the Gator Wesley Foundation.
Here at Gator Wesley, I've really grown my relationship with God personally, hearing the sermons on Sunday, leading small groups on Wednesday, and just everything in between has really strengthened my relationship with other Christian followers as well as with God himself. And Gator Wesley has actually given me the opportunity to serve as a youth director at First UMC. So I feel more confident in my faith and what I believe in as I'm sharing that faith with other people.
So I was actually leading a book Bible study with one of my friends, and the particular book that we were reading was full of a lot of really challenging ideas and thoughts that I'd never really had. And even though I was leading it with her, she really poured into me and gave me a space where I could be having these questions and not be judged and just trying to figure out life together and feeling affirmed even if we didn't think the same thing.
So when I started coming to Gator Wesley, I realized that I felt a calling to full-time ministry. And I was reluctant to that at first, so I made a sort of deal with God that if the Astros won the World Series this year, then I would seriously consider ministry as a full-time occupation. And lo and behold, they did, in fact, win the World Series this year. And so a few days after, I found myself on a plane to Portland, Oregon for the Exploration Conference, which is geared towards helping me discern my calling.
Here at Gator Wesley, I get a really cool chance to lead small groups on Wednesdays. It's a great way to experience what other people have experienced and allow them to open up to me and for me to just expand my knowledge about other people's theology and how they view God, in a sense. It's very rewarding, and it's a great time making friends.
Being able to come into a campus ministry where you have people your age that are exploring the same sorts of questions that you're exploring is really helpful in discerning what it is that you believe. And Gator Wesley has given me a place where I can explore questions that I'm having and I don't feel judgment. And I can explore doubt and I'm not met with questions about why I have doubts. And it's just been a place where I can be myself. And that has helped me grow in my faith with Jesus more than anything else.
Gator Wesley has helped to strengthen my faith by allowing me to be a part of a Christian community that is specifically geared towards me and my spiritual growth. Now, over the next few years, I hope to further discern my calling, further develop my spiritual gifts, and be a part of missions outreach.
Good morning. We invite everyone to stand as you're able and sing with us today.
What a wonderful name it is, the name of This morning, I want to first take a moment and say thank you to all of you. We are in the midst of preparing for next year and the ability to be in ministry here in this congregation to our children and our youth and our students and our adults, also to be a prophetic witness, to take prophetic action, as Heather said, to take prophetic action in our community and across the world. And we are grateful for all of you enabling us to make that happen. Our budget for next year is $3.1 million about, and in the very first week of pledging through Wednesday, through this past Wednesday, you all have already committed over $1.35 million, and we are really grateful for that. That is more than we have had in the first week. As long as Laura, our church administrator, can remember. And so we are grateful for that, and we are more than about halfway to where we want to be in terms of pledged commitments, and we thank you so much for your generosity and for the impact that that makes in this community and far beyond. This morning, as we receive our offering, if you do have pledge cards that you have not yet offered to Trinity, you're welcome to put those in the offering plate as they go by, as well as your regular tithes and offerings. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray with me. Oh God, we come to you and we are grateful. Our hearts are filled. Our spirits are renewed. And we are grateful for your presence in our lives. We're grateful for the privilege to offer the gifts that we have of who we are and of all that we have, and offer them back to you. And we do pray, oh God, that through our generosity, your will be done, that you will reach out to this community and the world and allow us to be in ministry and mission so that we can share the beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Bye. end that with an amen. Wow. Goosebumps. And so it is well. Hopefully it's well with everyone else after an amazing Thanksgiving weekend. Hopefully it's well with myself after a fun and eventful time with my family at Thanksgiving, which is always functional and right and well. I'm glad to be here. There's other things that we don't speak of that may have happened later on in the weekend, like yesterday. I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Joel Pankos. I am a pastor at the Gator Wesley Foundation, and I am joined in that with my wife, Heather, who offered the prayer earlier in the service, and my two daughters down here in the front, Elliot and Nora, are down here. Also joined in service at Gator Wesley with an amazing group of students who we get to serve alongside. And as well as those students, we serve with Brandon Bishop, who is over here on guitar. He's our worship and operations director. And then in the next service, our finance manager, Kate, is going to join us, who does so much more than finance. As most people who work in and for and around the church understand, your job description far exceeds what you do on a day-to-day basis. But Heather and I, as I mentioned, have these two wonderful girls who are blessed by this congregation at Trinity. They serve. Our two daughters go to the Wednesday after-school program, Cheers and Rejoice. They also are blessed by the Sunday morning programming that is offered here, as well as the summer camps that they are blessed to be a part of. And so we are thankful for you as a congregation for what you've done for our girls and our family. I attended Trinity when I was a student at the University of Florida back in the 90s. And when I say 90s, I mean most of the 90s. As a student here at the University of Florida. And I remember getting to church late one Sunday morning. And by late, I actually think I was on time, because back then, if I got to church before the pastor spoke or preached, I was there on time. I don't know if any of y'all relate to that. But I was there, in my terms, on time, but in other people, I was probably like 20 minutes late. But Reverend Johnson hadn't started preaching yet. And so I snuck up into the balcony of the 8th Avenue campus, and it was there that morning that I made a decision to follow my calling to be in ministry. Now, I paid for my way through college, so that meant quitting a job where I was getting an income and accepting a part-time youth director position down in Ocala is what that decision made for me. So that was pretty big. And that decision to go into ministry or to start my path down ministry is taking me through a lot of twists and turns in my calling and in my experience in ministry. And Heather, as was mentioned before, spent the last 10 years for me and 14 years for Heather serving at the Warren Willis United Methodist Camp down at Fruitland Park as program directors. The two of us ran programming. Heather ran the summer camp program for the most part, and I ran the programs the rest of the year. And it was about a year and a half. Actually, I'll say we even met at the camp when we were counselors, the two of us, and we raised our family at the camp. We were married in the chapel there at the camp, and so that camp was a huge part of our ministry and our calling. It was a huge part of my faith formation as a student who came up through a church who sponsored me to go to camp every summer, and it was a place where I came to understand who Jesus was in my life. And so that camp was a huge place for Heather and I, and for us to be able to raise our children there with the past 10 years was an amazing blessing. And then about a year and a half ago, Heather and I, as working there at this place that was so comfortable, felt this nudge and this calling. For me, it was that same voice that I heard in the balcony at Trinity United Methodist previously. We heard this nudge and this push, this call to begin a new chapter in ministry together, to learn to serve alongside college students, not just for a three-month period during the summers, but for an entire year. So there it was 22 years ago. I'm pointing back that way because that's where the balcony was on the 8th Avenue campus. There I was 22 years ago with my head in my hands in the balcony of the church, wrestling with my calling. Now, I can't tell you what Dan preached that Sunday. I don't know a single word that he said, but I do remember wondering that if I take this job and decide to quit my other job, am I going to be okay? If any of y'all had that feeling or that question rattle through your head? And then 20 years later, there Heather and I were again at the Methodist camp right before we took this new position at Gator Wesley, asking ourselves, do we want to leave behind a job that we're both good at, a job that's comfortable? Do we want to leave behind a home that we physically helped to remodel and rebuild for our family? Do we want to leave behind a home that was the only home that our children ever knew? And do we want to leave behind an awesome church that we are a part of and that we served in and that we served alongside some amazing people? Do we want to leave all that behind, all that comfort, to follow this calling or this voice calling us to go out and to do? And we found ourselves asking that same question. Are we going to be okay? So today, Heather and I work with students who come from many different backgrounds. We work with undergraduate students. We work with grad students, doctoral students. We work with engineering majors to entomology majors. We work with students who are studying to be doctors, to be teachers and lawyers and builders and preachers and on and on. There's many different types of students that we work with, and all of them at one point or another ask that same question. But I feel like all of us ask this question as well, whether we're parents or grandparents, whether we're single or we're married, we're working, whether we're looking for a job or we're retired. We all at some point ask this question in our lives, are we going to be okay? When we turn on the news or open up a news app on our phone, when we ask this question, when we read about our church, about our country, about what's going on in the world, I feel like this question hits us all day long. When we think about our family, our grandchildren, our children, we ask this question, are we going to be okay? Will I be good at my job? Something a lot of my students ask as we're getting ready to graduate. Will I get a job? Will the economy hold up? Will I be able to pay my bills tomorrow? Today? And what if things take a wrong turn? Will my family be healthy? Will a medical scare or a medical emergency wipe out my savings? Basically, it's ways that we ask, are we going to be okay? And so this brings me to our text this morning from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. And with that question kind of echoing in our minds, are we going to be okay? Okay, I want us to read this. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I took this list and I kind of broke it down a little bit, and I kind of reworded a few things to hopefully maybe bring some words and some thoughts and some phrases to maybe allow this scripture passage to hit us a little closer to where we might be today, and to give us some examples of maybe some of the things that that weigh on us or that cause us to ask this question, are we going to be okay? So here's this list. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor depression, nor employers or politicians, nor this week's challenges or news feeds, nor the things that may happen to us next year, or that may happen to a friend or family member, nor medical bills or car payments, nor losing a job, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, because we're all smart people and we can think of a ton of things that could potentially separate us from the love of God, or we can think of a ton of things in our mind that can go wrong in our lives. none of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because I believe truly that the love of God today is the same as the love of God yesterday and will be the same as the love of God tomorrow. The love of God when we're in our 20s sitting in a balcony of a church is the same as the love of God in my 40s preaching to that same church and will be the same as the love of God in my 80s because we are loved. And I truly and firmly believe that nothing can separate us from this love. Now, that also means that we can't do enough to earn it. We can't achieve enough, can't worship enough, we can't serve in such a way that we will change the love that God has for us. We also, this is for me, thank goodness, because we can't slack enough, we can't fail enough, we can't struggle enough to separate us from God's love. That means that no loss, no death, no disappointment, no bad Thanksgiving dinner can separate us from God's love, or will take that love away or cause God to have a change of heart. Thank goodness, right? Because this concept, for me, it brings freedom. But it also leaves me asking this question. And it asks me this question as I've been pursuing my calling in ministry is, okay, I have this love and I understand this love, but what next? Great, I'm loved. That's amazing. But what next? What am I called to do? Because this verse still talks about the struggles that we have. It talks about tough times. It talks about persecution. And it even talks about things that are going to be painful. Like the football game. Classes in college, I found, and I know you guys probably figured this out, classes in college didn't pass themselves. Moving my family was tough, from a place that was comfortable to a place that was new. Dealing with family issues during Thanksgiving or any time of the year is a struggle for some of us, but we are called to love as Christ loved. We're called to love our family, our friends. We're even called to love FSU fans. We are called to persevere when things get tough as we follow our calling. See, for me, this love Paul speaks of in Romans 8 is for a purpose. Not just to live within us, but to be used through tough times in our lives and to compel us towards our calling to share this love in a world through our actions outside of ourselves. And as good Wesleyans, we are called to experience this free gift of God's grace and love in our lives. Then in our pursuit of holiness, live our lives as an outward sign of God's love by sharing, by loving, by serving, by giving, and by learning and teaching. Because God loves us right here, right where we are, and nothing will ever change that. So we are called to do something about it. Now notice, I didn't say, go do something so that God will love us. It is God loves us, so go do something about it. Our response to this message of God's love is our life. Our friendships, our community, our worship, our service should all be in response to this love. God has a deep love for us. Truly and ultimately believe that. But God also has a deep calling and a deep purpose for our lives. That's the message that Heather and I try and instill over and over again in our students. It'd be one thing to sit up there and just let all of our students who come into Gator Wesley or let all of us who come into the church every Sunday to just hear and know about God's love in our lives. But that's just the part of the story that gets us started because God has a lot to do in this world and he wants us to join in on that. And that's where it gets fun because we are going to be okay. I truly and ultimately believe that. And that's because of God's love. But how we experience this love and what we do with it is up to us. And so I have a few helpful things to kind of wrap this around. And these are just thoughts that go through my mind as I try and understand how I can possibly put myself in a position to share God's love. And the first is this, is to get involved in community. And I know our church and our churches and our campus ministry are a great community to be involved in. But the challenge I wanted to also offer us this morning, is it going to only involve people who already know Jesus? Or are we putting ourselves in contact with those who need the message of Jesus? We talk to our students all the time about the campus. Our ministry isn't Dater Wesley Foundation, this building, and what happens inside the building. Our mission and our ministry is what happens on campus and how we can help others that are hurting on campus. I believe that's the same for the local church. Our mission isn't what happens here at Trinity. Our mission is to be encouraged by the love of Christ within this community, to learn and to grow. But ultimately, our mission is to go out of the doors and to bring that love into the community. The second is to worship together in an authentic community. And this challenge is for me is may my worship or may our worship be a response to God's love and challenge me and challenge us to go and do something about it. Number three is to love so deeply that it hurts. And as someone who's a little bit of an introvert, I try and keep things inside and keep myself composed. But what I have found is that life is so much more blessed when I am vulnerable, when I allow others to invade who I am, and when I am allowed into someone else's life. The realness of life and the ability to share that love becomes so much more real. So put ourselves out there. Put myself out there. Because love, as scriptures say, love has no greater example than those who lay down their lives for their friends. Number four is to play and laugh with passion. If we are so loved, then joy should shine from our souls. I even wrote a note here, even during a rough Saturday in the swamp, our love of Christ should shine brighter than the scoreboard. They should know who the Christians are because those are the ones that have a deep, content smile on their face still in the face of adversity. And that just doesn't go with just football. It goes with life in general. Number five is to serve often and love others, because service and love are the core of God's purpose and calling for our lives. Number six, this one was the one that struck me on Thanksgiving, is to learn all we can and open up to seeing things from different perspectives. We have a lot to learn from each other. We will never be able to truly love someone until we try and see things from their perspective, especially if we disagree with them. I had to say that to myself over and over and over again on Thursday as I bounced from one fun political conversation to another around the dinner table. It was a blessing. And lastly, is be careful of excuses. This is a trap I get myself in. I don't know if anyone can relate to these, but these creep into our lives too often. And that is the excuse that I'm not smart enough. I'll never get this. Someone else will do it. That's not my job. I don't have enough time. I'm too busy. It hurts too much. Or it's just plain too hard to share love with that person or that group or to do that thing. So whether it's a new job or it's a hurting person who needs help, a calling you are feeling inside, a relationship, a goal, or a dream, we shouldn't allow these excuses to creep in and define us or keep us from sharing God's love. Because God's love, God loves us to the depths. So we are, so it frees us up to try. It frees us up to fail from time to time. It frees us up to experience this love without exception. I love the way that this Lutheran pastor, Mary Hinkleshore, speaks of this love. She says, together the actions of God, past, present, and the future, on our behalf, testify to a fierce, compassionate love from which nothing in all creation can separate us. And I want to close with this passage, which is one of my life passages from 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. I believe that we are made new and have the ability to be made new day in and day out. For my college students, this newness is tangible with every new semester. There's new opportunities, new habits to form, new classes, new friends, a new chance to boost their GPA. And for us, different things help us to relate to this newness. It's a new week. It's a new month, a new year. a new season in the church as we're about to enter into Advent. Or it's a new job or a new challenge we have in front of us, or new neighbors, or a new speaker at church talking in front of you. Whatever it is, our job is to look at all of creation as new, a new way of thinking about people, about learning, about our purpose. Because God has entrusted us, that includes campus ministries and local churches, entrusted all of us with a message of love. How we act, how we love, what we do, it matters to our mission. Now, if you aren't a believer, I want you to know this about the church, that our job is to love you. Our job is to love you and to share this life-giving message of love with you, right where you are, wherever that may be. Because nothing can separate us from God's love. You, me, anyone, or anything. So we are all called to try and love people the same way. And that's our purpose. So are we going to be okay? I preached this at a church in Williston a few months ago, and they all sounded back. Yes. I'm like, okay, hold on. I got some more to go here. So are we going to be okay? And my answer for this is don't settle for okay. Allow this community to pour the confidence of God's love into your life and to help you find purpose in who you are becoming and how you are expressing that love in the world. Become the new creation that God has created you to be. That is our mission of the United Methodist Church, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that begins with acknowledging first the love of Christ in our own hearts, and then allowing that love to move us towards action. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for a beautiful weekend. We thank you for an amazing time to come together and to worship and to sing and to celebrate your love. God, I pray that that love that we see and that we hear and sometimes that we physically touch, I pray that that love may call us into action. And that it may help us be your light in the world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Each and every week, we have an opportunity to come to the Lord's table and to celebrate God's unfailing love for us. Again and again, as human beings, our love fails. God's love never fails. And at this table, we are reminded that Christ came and took on our flesh. In a few weeks, we'll celebrate the coming of an infant. But that infant grew up and was willing to be so vulnerable that he went to the cross and was stripped of his clothing and died us so that we could be made new. And that same love invites us to come to this table week after week and bring our fears and our doubts, our questions of, are we going to be okay? And to hear the good news that in Christ we are made new. And yes, we are going to be more than okay because Christ's grace is sufficient for all of our needs. And it will sustain us and renew us and transform us day after day. And so Christ took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Father. And he gave the cup to his disciples and he said, take and drink. For this is the blood of the new covenant given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and on this juice.
makes us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world, and reminds us that nothing can separate us from your love. And again, you welcome us back so that we can remember who we are and discover who you created us to be. Knowing that we are loved, you then call us to go out and go do what we were created to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it be so. Amen. May those who are going to be helping us serve go ahead and come forward now. We'll invite you to come out on the left. Come forward. We'll tear off a piece of bread for you. We'll hand it to you. And then you can dip it into the cup and eat it. You're welcome to come and pray at our kneeling rail. And then you can return by the right side back to your section. Beginning with the front, moving back. You guys are welcome to come. And we have gluten free if you need that on either side. Come for all of us.
Heather and Joel and for Brandon and their leadership in this ministry. Would you join me in expressing our thanks to them for being here with us today and for what's happening on campus? You know, one of the things that Joel mentioned in his message was he asked the question, are we going to just spend our time reaching the people who already know Jesus? And one of the realities of the world today is that one of the best places, one of the best ministries that has the opportunity to connect with those who don't is on college campuses. And so it's campus ministries that have a tremendous potential to have impact. And you can help them have impact through your prayers and also through your gifts. Today's mission box is for Gator Wesley. And so as you leave this morning, if you'd like to make an offering toward that ministry, you can place it in any of the boxes as you exit. If you don't have what you would like to give today, but you would like to support their ministry, they would be happy to have you go online, or you can go to the Trinity website, and there's a mission box set up on our giving page there where you can make an offering to support this effort today as well. But again, we're really glad that you're here today.
And I'd like to echo Steve's thanks. Thanks to you all for having us. Thanks to Aaron and Lenora and Steve and Catherine, who have been such encouragers to us as we have entered into this ministry. We all kind of go way back through camp. Steve was my small group leader when I was a camper. And so it's incredible to me how the connections continue to just grow and strengthen. So thank you to your church community. And let me leave you this morning with this benediction based off of Romans 8, which Joel read for us this morning. What can separate us from the love of God? Can hardship, persecution, troubles, difficulties, fear, even death? Nothing. Nothing can. Absolutely nothing. Because whatever may come our way, we have overwhelming victory through Christ who loves us and gave himself for us. So go into the week today, tomorrow, having hope and joy and that knowledge, the confidence that we have that the love of Christ goes with us. Amen.